Through the blood of Jesus, we are cleansed. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Father, I just pray for Pastor Stan. No, it's actually Pastor Ted this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the word that you've placed on his heart. Prepare our hearts to receive from you, Lord, and that you'd seal it in our hearts. And you bring much fruit from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Give glory to God. Give glory to his name. It's a cold morning, and we've come to worship God and warm up our hearts and just to come in the presence of God. And it's just sweet to worship him, right? Yeah. And this is the first Sunday of a new year. I want to just spend a little time this morning thinking about where we've come from and how faithful God has been and trusting him for where he's leading us. So I just thought this morning, I've been praying about this for most of the week and just thinking about, God, what are you doing now? Where are we going to go? And kind of giving him one of these, Lord, unless you lead, I'm not going, you know, just give me your hand. I want to make sure we're following you and going exactly where you want us to be and what you want us to do. And I know, God, that you're faithful. And I know, God, that you've been with us. Even though I think, in my opinion, 2014 was a hard year. There was a lot of hard things and a lot of bumps in the road and a lot of just a lot of times we just cried out to God. But that's all right because he's always been faithful and he brings us through that hard thing and he makes us stronger. But it doesn't mean it's fun. That wasn't not a, in a lot of ways, 2014 wasn't a fun year. There were a lot of hard things. There were deaths. There were disappointments, things that are discouraging. But it's time to regroup, you know, and it's time to look into a new year. And I think it's also time to trust God that he's got something fresh and that he's moving us into a new direction and that he's still in control. He still holds the future, right? We trust him for that. So I just want to start by just actually doing something we don't normally do, and that's that we're just going to be quiet. Take a few minutes, and we're always so busy. We're always making so much noise, and I'm maybe the worst culprit of that. Let's just be quiet. Let's take a few minutes. Can we do five? Can we try 5 minutes to try to hear from God today? What is God saying, and where is he leading, and what's an encouraging word that, you know, he might have for us today? Let's take a few minutes. Just listen to God. We say thank you, Lord, for that, because that comes from God, and it's a reminder. That's a good word. We need to hear that today, because bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, it festers. It's like a bad tooth, and it just causes a lot of pain. So I really appreciate that. And this is a new year. It's a new beginning. I believe that God has something fresh. He has something fresh for us, and I don't know what that is exactly, but I'm moving into this new year asking him to rebuild my faith and give me a new vision, a new dream, but also just to keep trusting him. You know, he's got a plan. He's going to lead on, and there's something fresh, something good. I just want to read from something that God shared with me this morning from Isaiah 42. Just going to read from Isaiah 42, and just listen to these words. You know, we took a few minutes just to be quiet before God, and how important that is to listen to God. Listen to these words. Now God speaks back, and he says this. He says, I, the Lord, I'm reading from Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will take hold of your hand. And that's the picture that I needed to see this morning. Just that idea that there's God taking hold of my hand. And my prayer this morning was, God, I just need to feel your hand. I need to know that my little hand is in your big hand. He says, I am the Lord your God. I will take your hand. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, and to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Wow. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place. The new things, I declare. Before they spring into being, I will announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. And he goes on, he talks about rejoicing. And I love that, you know. He takes our hand, says, I'm gonna lead you. And that's what we need, you know. I'm going to lead you, God says, I'll show you my hand. Maybe that's all I'm going to see. I'm just going to show you my hand. And you take hold of my hand, and I'll bring you where I want you to go. Not where you want to go, maybe. I know where I want to go, but God knows where he wants to lead me. He says, I'll show you my hand, and I'm going to bring you to places where the blind will be made so they can see. I'll bring you to places where those who are living in darkness are going to see a great light. To those who are sitting in the depths, he talks about those who are sitting in the depths. He says, we'll get them out of that depression. We'll get them out of that darkness. But I will lead you there. Amen? So I wanted to just open this up this morning a little bit and have you share. What's God what's God saying to you? And what's our prayer? What's your prayer as we move into a new season, into a new year? What's God saying and how's he leading? The only catch today, at least the first part of this, is you need to be over 70 to be able to share. So there may only be a few of you here today, but there's a few. But we need to hear, we need to hear from those who've experienced a lot of life. And how's God speaking through, you know, some of the, I don't like that term elderly, but some of the older folk around here. The wiser, yeah. So if you are over 70 and you've been praying about this and you think God's been saying something, well, obviously there's our sister Ricky. You get to go first, but we want to hear from you. I want to hear what's on your heart.
Well, it's the same scripture that we talked about this week. Though the fig tree does not blossom, though there be no fruit on the vine, the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no fruit, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I think that is a message for all of us, Because sometimes we see the things falling apart around us, but it doesn't matter. God is out for a people that will praise him in the midst of darkness. And that is my wish for this year too. And for all of you, bless you in this coming year.
You say amen? Okay, I like that. So no matter what, even though things may not look the way we think they should look, and we don't see the results or the successes aren't measured the way we measure success, yet I will praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, every year at this time, he keeps giving me my favorite Bible verse, who's brought me through so many things. Hebrews 13:5, what does it say? At the start it says, do not make the love of money, because money can be your idol real fast. Can come in real fast, and I battle that with some time. But 13:5 says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But as we were sitting here in quietness, and I look at that piano, and you know what I heard this morning? I'm going to send you another Al. I'm going to send you another Al. So he never forsakes us. He always comes in with something different or something. He never fails you. He's inside you. He can't leave you. He's in here. Ephesians says his spirit is sealed with our spirit. How are you going to break that seal? You don't. Don't ever think that he's left you. Never.
That's a good word, bro.
Thank you.
Good word. Thank you, God. He restores, he replaces. You're not over 70. You got to wait your turn. He thought I was kidding. Karen, I want to hear what God is saying through you.
God has told me a message over and over and over for the last 70 plus years. Love. 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 We need to love one another as he has loved us.
Amen. Amen. So it's a callback to love. Are you hearing that? If you want to start with me, God says, if you want to get back on track, if you want to take my hand, then you better understand love. You better understand what it looks like. You better understand. If you can't get along with the person sitting next to you, you'll never be able to get along with the people who are your neighbors or people who are on the streets. So you need to start love here. Love has to begin in the family of God. Paul says that, and then it needs to move on from there to, you know, reach out to other people. But that the very heartbeat of it all is love, and I really appreciate what you said there, Karen. If it isn't love, then all we're doing is making a lot of noise, and that's easy. There's lots of noise in the world. It's a noisy place. But love, you know, here's what remains: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Anyone else over 70 who's got just a word that we can be encouraged by today? Ted, I want to hear what God has to say through you today.
Okay. God is saying, speak out. Speak out. My word will not return void. So don't be as scared to witness for the Lord.
How many people need to hear that today? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Don't be as scared. I like that. Don't be as scared. Be brave. Right? Don't be afraid. How many times is that saying in God's word? Let's go into the new year in love, but in courage as well. We got to be courageous, right? Be strong and courageous is what God said to Joshua. We take that to heart. Thank you, Ted. Anyone else over 70? We're running out of people who are over 70, but there's still maybe a couple of you left. Honestly, I want to hear from you. I think this is really important. We learn from this. Okay, well, not wanting to make this sound like an auction, how about 65? If you're under 65, if you're under 65, over 65, sorry. See, I'd be a really bad auctioneer. I'd be selling stuff for nothing. If you are over 65, anyone here want to share something? You're not 65 yet, brother. Not yet, you don't. Chris, thank you.
Just spent a weekend with my son and his wife. And he's walking on his own path. And so as I was thinking about it this morning, I was thinking about a poem by Robert Frost, where he comes to a fork in the road in the woods. And he stands there and he ponders for a long time. And finally, he decides to take the road less traveled. And it was the best choice that he could have made. And you know, when I was thinking about that, my dad traveled that road less traveled. And I've chosen it. And in this coming year, I want to see that my son is on that road as well.
Me too. So I hope you're getting this, right? So here's what God's saying. God's saying, this is the fourth day of January. There are 361 days left in this year. And this needs to be a year of reclamation. And we're believing that. We're gonna put our faith together. We're going to stand on what God's word says, because every one of us knows someone who doesn't know Jesus. And some of those people are really dear to us. They're our own children, maybe our own grandchildren. And we need to be praying up a storm. We need to be faithful in how we shine the light. We need to be consistent that they're seeing Christ in us and not something else. Because those Kennys, they need to come back. They need to come back. We're going to believe God for that. God, show
us.
Then
we have to stay on that road.
That's right.
Less traveled.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's a good word. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Lord, let this be a year of redemption and restoration, God. Let 2015 be a year where next year, when we sit here, the first Sunday in January of 2016, there's a whole lot of our lost sons and daughters and friends that are with us. Let that be the truth, God. Let that be the truth. Bring about that revival, oh God. Someone else, 65 or over. Anyone? Yes, Ken.
Good morning, folks. I'm new here, so my wife and I were just reflecting on January 1st. January 1st, 1965, Jeannie and I were engaged, and then shortly after that, we got married. But that gave us time to reflect on the goodness of God in our lives, and we're so thankful for the many blessings that have come our way. We were talking about difficulties and hardships. 2012, in February, I found out I had cancer and was operated on in March. And today I'm cancer-free. I'm very thankful. I went to the doctor to get some medication. He asked me a question that he had never said it that way before. He said, has anything changed for you, Ken? And I said, yes, something has changed for me. And that's when the whole process started to finding out I had cancer. In September of that year, my wife had a heart attack. And we went through some difficulties around that. But you know, when you, through the years, we've looked back and we've been so thankful. We've been so blessed. God gave us seven children, three biological, and we adopted four others. And all the ones we adopted were native and our own children. And for quite a few years before my oldest son got married, I was the only white person in my family. But God's been good to us. And you think you retire, but you never do. And we thought we did 3 years ago. But God still has more for us to do, and we're so thankful. And we're thankful to be here this morning.
Thanks. Isn't that encouraging? That is so wonderful. Amen. Thank you, God. So there are hard things. Let's admit it. You know, we're not going to pretend there isn't. And there's lots of us here today that are struggling with something or other. Cancer, or one of our children who's, you know, addicted to something that we wish he wasn't addicted to. Or there's all kinds of things. But that's a good testimony, Ken. Just a good reminder. God's faithful. We stand on that today. Is there anyone else? You can, yeah, I'll give you, you look 65, so.
Well, that's good, because last week I felt like 85, and when I looked in the mirror this morning, I thought, gee, I can actually see some light coming back into my face and some joy coming back in my face. And this foot thing has been a real trial for me, and it's been about 7 weeks now, and we had to be down in Calgary for a few days, and all of a sudden there for a couple of days, this foot started to hurt more than it has the whole time. It was I had to phone for more pain medication stuff. I just couldn't deal with it. And not only that, but just emotionally, I just couldn't. I was just at the end of myself, because it's been a really, really long time. Before I even had the surgery, I had about 3 months of pain, a lot of pain. But anyways, when you're in a place like that, you sometimes feel like, where's God in all this? You know, like, because, you know, the year before that, I had a great year after having had gone through a hard time. And but then after that really hard day, I think God must have known that I just didn't have anything left. And the next day I woke up, and it was the first day in 7 or 8 weeks that my foot wasn't swollen anymore. And for 2 or 3 days, the pain's been gone. It's a little bit today, but not bad at all. And in all of that, the Lord said to me, he said, you know, it's not just with you, Tim, but a lot of God's people right now that are going through trials, or we get over one and then there's another one and then there's another one. We do need to be thankful, because I believe that the reason that God is allowing it, and I believe this is a confirmation of what the gentleman spoke back here about the cancer, because when you get to those kind of places, and then you come through and God brings you through, then we have got so much more faith and joy on the other side, that's what the world needs to see. So God's taking us through some of these trials and some of these things, because when we come through them, the joy of having got through them and the joy of seeing God's deliverance and things like that, no matter what the situation might be, whatever our loss or whatever we're struggling with, God will bring us through, and he's preparing us for a world that there will be no hope for a lot of people left in the world anymore. It's becoming so dark. But we don't need to be afraid of that. These things we're going through now are preparing us so that our light will be so strong and the joy of the Lord will be so strong in us. It's going to be an exciting time. And we need to get a hold of that. We really do.
Let me lead you in prayer. So God, thank you. We follow you. We proclaim the name of Jesus and no other name. And that is the name that we want to have just front and center all year long. We just plead your blood over us as a church and over the church in Red Deer and over your church throughout the world. We pray for this city, that there'll be great changes happening in this city, and that we're going to witness more and more of the revival that you've promised and that we keep praying about, God. And it's true. We don't need to be afraid, so we are not afraid. And we're going to follow you this year. And that's our commitment this morning, that we will follow you with all of our hearts and that we are all in. All in, God. All in, God. All in. Just, God, we want to be faithful to you. We want to be seen as disciples of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will wash us clean right now today. Take away the sin that has been in our lives. We need a fresh start from you. We need to confess our sins and then know that you are faithful and you are righteous and you're just and that you will cleanse us. So right now, in the name of Jesus, cleanse us as a church for the mistakes that we've made, for the sin that has been in our lives, for the fighting that we've been engaged in, even with each other. We pray for that, for the bitterness and for the resentment, for all of that, God. We confess it so that we can have a clean start with you and so that we can follow you and see the hand that's held out for us today, that you hold out your hand and you want us to be a part of that church that causes the blind to see and the lame to walk and those who are still living in darkness, that they come to the light of Jesus Christ. So God, we are all in. And even though sometimes we've struggled in the past and we've been down and we've been filled with self-pity, we ask you to remove that so that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to forge forward and to do the things, the mighty things of your kingdom that you call us to do, God. And I know, Lord, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you have established us here and that you've given us all the gifts and that you want to do great things, and we just need to surrender to you. Like the song that we sang, we just need to be humble before you. So we humble ourselves and say, lead on, O King Eternal. Just lead on. And thank you that we may not know what's going to happen in the year 2015, but we serve a God who does. You know exactly what you're doing, and you know exactly where you want to lead us. And so we pray for that, God. And pray that there'll be many who come to know you, that will see many signs and wonders and see the power of your gospel penetrate people's lives and just see how faithful you are, God. Bring back our sons and daughters, Lord. Bring back your sons and daughters, the others, Lord. They may not be related to us, but they belong to you. Many people who have been hurt by the church or hurt by religion or just plain have turned their back on you, God. Bring them back. Show your grace and show your power. Continue to reach out into the dark places, oh God. We pray for the people on the streets today. We pray, Lord, that this will be a year that we see the changes in the hearts of the girls who are working in the trade of prostitution and the people who are addicted to meth and crack and booze and all that stuff, God, that keeps them chained to the darkness. Set them free in the name of Jesus, we pray. Set them free, God. Release them from the bondage that the enemy has put them in. Deliver them, Lord, and bring them. Bring them to this place. Bring them to churches. Bring them to a right relationship with you, O Jesus, Lord and God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can enter a new year with great courage and we're not afraid. Thank you that we can look back on this last year and see how your hand has moved us and how faithful you've been. And I guess, Lord, all I want to say today is just we want to follow you. Forgive us when we haven't in the past. And I pray that we'll put our hand in your hand today. And that we'll follow you wherever you go. And that it doesn't matter where that is. We won't question it. We won't think we're smarter than you or that we have a better idea than you do. We just want to go where you lead us. Where you lead, we will follow. We'll go. You are our God. And we trust you. And all of this we will do with the love that you place in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ. And so, God, now, too, just want to pray for Ted. And I thank you that he's bringing the word today. And I pray that your word will flow through him and that your spirit will give him the words and that we'll hear. We'll say, as we leave this place today, we will say that we have heard from God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
While we were in worship today, Stan a few weeks ago said, where is this church going? And I've been asking God, but he hasn't been saying anything. But this morning during worship, he showed me, and I'm like, oh, yes. And then he says, 70 years old. And I'm like, Jesus. Anyways, I heard run the race right to the end. And I thought, oh, yes. And then all of a sudden, I saw all these strangers on the side. And then, like, this path here, we were all running this race. Stan was running. We were all running behind him. But instead of passing a relay tube, we were taking hands. And then he said, I just want to feel the Lord's hand. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? He says, we're all running together. All of a sudden, Stan gets tired, so we come up and grab his hand. Then Ricky grabs his hand. And we're all running together in unity. And he says, you're going to make it to the end. So that's where he wants us to go. Amen. Take each other by the hand. And let's run in unity together. And then I said, Lord, I don't want to hide my gifts anymore. I've had enough sitting back and not saying anything. So I said, Lord, what do you want to say? He said, I want tell them I'm not angry with them. My love is so strong over my kids, and I'm proud of all of you. And he says, know that I'm not angry. I've placed all my anger on Jesus. I have no anger left towards you. I want you all to operate in your gifts that I've given you. That's how we function together as a body. The body can't move if one leg isn't working. We'd be hopping around. But he says, when the whole body starts using what God has given, he says, we're going to be like a mighty army. And the enemy has no place at all. So, Father, I just pray right now that you would release everyone in their giftings to operate, Lord, to what you've called us to do and to stand with Pastor Stan, not put him like he has to do everything. You've called us as a family, as an army. So, Father, we decree and declare from this moment on we will operate as an army family of love, together holding hands in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I've got a mic. Amen. Amen. Is it on? Yeah. Well, I think my message got preached several times this morning already. And we're in a pretty sweet spot right now. And I'd sure hate to mess it up. This is good. I have these phrases coming through my mind about the year that's coming, or that we're in right now. First of all, I thought it was a pretty scary offer to be able to preach the first Sunday of a year. I pastored a church for 10 years, and first Sundays are always kind of directional. And so anyway, I'm here. And I always think preaching is a scary business, I'll tell you that. I'm actually standing up here trying to tell God's children that I heard something from God that they need to know. That's scary. But that's just how he does it, right? Anyway, I have these phrases coming through my mind. I'm going to pull out of this. The Spirit of God is pretty heavy in here. A phrase that comes to my mind right now is divine acceleration. I think we're coming into a year of divine acceleration. I personally am not a laid-back person. I'm like full throttle would be a lot more. Sitting around drives me crazy. I'm a terrible spectator. I don't like to sit and watch. If I can't get into it, I don't want to do it. So I'm a doer, but full throttle, maximum impact. I think God wants his people to have maximum impact in the world today. And you're here today because God wants you here today. And he wants to set you free so that you can have maximum impact. Right? We're not living in a day for sitting around and doing nothing or sitting back and just being, oh, whatever. You know, we've seen whatever for too long. I think it's time to put our foot down. Amen. And start running this race on purpose. Right? So many times in my Christian walk, I've done the right thing by accident. I just fluked it. God was good and he just intervened for me, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I did it, and it was right. But I think we're coming to a time now where God wants us to know what we're doing and do it on purpose and do it real hard. Because there's a harvest out there. I'm always doing math for some reason or other. They say there's 100,000 people in Red Deer. Approximately 100,000 people live in this city. And right now, there's less than 10,000 of them in church. If you sort of look at the bigger churches and figure things out, there's less than 10,000 people in church right now. And you wonder why things are a bit of a mess, right? So there's very few people trying to maintain the Spirit of God in the city. But we're going to change that. That's about to change. Because I made up my mind. It's going to change. That's it. Right? Where I go, it's going to change. That's all I can do. I can't tell you what to do with your life. But I had a message here that I was going to preach this morning. Because I was just going to put last year behind, and I was just going to look forge ahead. But the Lord just prompted me. Well, Saturday morning, I guess it was, at about 5 o'clock in the morning, I get prompted to get up and just sort of meditate and think and see what's going on. And the year didn't end particularly well. See, I believe that in the year 2015, worship is going to play a huge part in tearing down strongholds. If you look through the Old Testament, how many times did God tell his army leaders to send the trumpeters ahead or the worshipers ahead, you know, and worship and praise the Lord and start breaking stuff down with praise? So what does the devil do? He takes out a worshiper, right, just to distract my thinking. For the year, he took a worshiper out. Yeah? And I thought, that's interesting. But we're going to worship this year. There's going to be worship this year. There's going to be warfare worship. I really believe that. Yeah. We're going to take that devil down. And we're going to worship. And thank God for things before they come. I'm always, whenever something happens, I've been listening to Stan here now for the last couple of weeks, and he's not been doing too good with this idea of losing Al. And I was thinking about that a lot. And I said, why, Lord? Why? But I find out when I ask why, I never get answers from God. God doesn't seem to want to answer why. And I've also noticed over the years, if you want a really good answer, sometimes what you got to do is ask a good question. I remember when I got my first computer, the guy set it up for me. He was a friend of mine. He had a degree in computer science. He was using words that I didn't even know were in the dictionary. You know? And he says, Ted, if you got any questions, just ask me. Just call and ask. I says, Bernie, I'm so stupid when it comes to computers, I couldn't even come up with a question. Really? I mean, they're a ridiculous machine. To stop the thing, you have to press start. How crazy is that? But anyway, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, God, I want some questions. Give me some questions. So sometimes things like that don't come easy, you know? I mean, you want to ask a good question. I think that's a fair thing, to ask a good question so God can give you a good answer. So he took me to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost produced two really good questions. In Acts chapter 2, verse 12, they had just seen all these guys speaking in tongues and speaking in all their own languages, and they were all they were just amazed, like, what is this? And they asked the question, what do these things mean? What does that mean? And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, here's the follow-up question that I thought was just a ringer. What must we do? So there's the two questions that I want to deal with today. I think they need to be answered. What does this mean, and what must we do? I think in our lives, like, I didn't know Al well. I love worship, and I don't play musical instruments, so anybody who can, I appreciate, because they definitely fill a void in my life that I just never developed or whatever. And I love to worship. I'm a worshiper. I love worship. And I remember sitting here before church. I'd come early sometimes, and I'd sit and I'd listen and play piano. And piano is my favorite instrument. And after that, it's the violin, actually. Blessed to have a church that has a violin. But anyway, so there it is. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this piano, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is cool. I like this. He could get into it. And down in his heart, he was a worshiper. And so I figured, okay. So now he's not with us anymore, okay? So I got to get over it. But I got to ask myself a question. What does it mean, and what must we do? What happened, and how do we avoid it? I mean, I don't think the devil can come in here at random and just pick one of us and flip us out. I just don't believe that. I argue with things in my head. You ever have these arguments that don't have solutions and they just keep going round and round and round? You think you come up with a half an answer and you're almost satisfied, and you wake up the next day and you're not satisfied anymore. And the story goes on and on and on. Well, I told myself that's got to quit in my mind. What can this be, and what must we do? And so I was led to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I knew it off my heart this morning. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Look at that. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I tell you what. Every once in a while in our race, we get bogged down. Things bog you down. I know I've been bogged down by a lot of stuff. I thought I wasn't good enough. I couldn't do this. I can't speak. I, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, or all sorts of reasons for not doing what I'm called to do, and things would shut me down, you know, or trip me up. And it's not just, I want you to know, if you're a Christian, it's not really about you. It's about the guy beside you, it's the guy next to you outside, it's about the guy on the street, it's not about you. So when you get bogged down in your Christian life, what's happening is you're becoming ineffective in what the things God's called you to do. And I tell you what, I'm glad Al's in heaven, and as much as we miss him, I was thinking about it the other day, he's not missing us. I gotta live with that. I'd trade him places in a heartbeat. But we're here. And I tell you, I just got a whole lot more resolve in me. Because that sort of made me mad. But we get bogged down. It says, let us cast off every weight. So I just did a little looking at that and see what a weight was. And a weight is anything that attracts your attention and takes your eye off of what God's called you to do. It sort of, this derails you a little bit. Just, oh, you know, in wintertime, who feels like witnessing, man? I was watching that show where they buy islands, you know, and I'm surprised they're not that expensive. And I'm telling Mitch, you know, I think we could do this if we really wanted to. You know, a little bit of timeshare, and we could be distracted with that nice, clear, turquoise water, you know, especially this morning. I don't know about your car, but mine grunted a bit. And I was thinking, minus 30, and I got to go and preach. But, you know, we got to cast off every weight. Every weight that gets in our way so that we can continue to go full throttle, you know. When Paul was saying this, he was thinking about an amphitheater where everybody was sitting and watching, and the gladiators were fighting. And what they did, they used to practice jumping by holding stones in their hands so they weighed more, so that when they wanted to fight, they dropped the stones off and they had that much more energy, right? That's how they practiced. And he was saying, we got to cast off every weight now. It's time for us to get rid of our weights. And now that we've exercised, we're ready to run, right? 2015 is a year of running. It's a year of harvest. You know, it was coming to my mind this morning. What was reaped, what was sown in tears is going to be reaped in joy. Yes. The word of the Lord will not return void. I want you to know 15 is a year of harvest. It's a year of victory. It's a year of worship. It's a year of advancement. I watch a lot of football. It's one of my favorite sports. And there's an offense and there's a defense. And the church, I don't think, was ever designed to be the defense. It wasn't. We were designed to be offensive. I really hope by the end of 2015 that the devil seriously hates Potter's hands. So I'm thinking, you know, there was a lot of, you know, we've been talking this morning already, and a lot of good things have been said. You know, Mike come up and started this whole thing off. I really appreciated what he said. And as I was looking at the weights and sins and everything, and there's a couple things I wanted to read. There's a, you know, church, we got to get together. I had the privilege, I can't believe it, I've been coming here for over a year already. Time flies. And I've had the privilege of just sitting and watching and listening. There's been no pressure on me to do anything here. And I've just been watching. And I think my personal calling from God is foundational. I don't like building on something if it's not solid, so I'm always picking at the foundation to make sure that it's, that there aren't rotten spots in it, you know, because we're going to build a tall building, but if you have a poor foundation, it's only going to go so and so high, and it's going to fall down. And I think God wants us to go higher, so we need a good foundation. And I'm sort of a foundational type of guy. I'm very uncomplicated, fairly simple. I used to think the biggest word I knew was watermelon. You know? And I don't make a whole lot of bones about who I am or who I'm not. I used to tell people I have zero education. I got kicked out of grade 3 for not shaving. You know, I just, I'm just not that bright. Never read a book till I got saved. And then I started reading the Bible. Seriously, I never read a book. I spent years just not reading. And I got saved. I grabbed the Bible and I started reading. And man, I haven't quit. This is a good book, right? I just want to go through a few things here. I don't want to take up a lot of time. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And there's a verses about all the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. I'm going to read through some of them. And I think what happened to Al, he left a door open. Alcohol is a pretty bad door. I was into that for 18 years. I just couldn't go without it. And I know how strong that is. And those are doors. And we all have doors. Another thing I want to say, it's really easy for people like me to come to church here. Because my petty little sins really don't look bad in the light of drug addiction, prostitution, alcoholism, and whatever else goes on here, you know. A little bit of gossip, a little bit of envy, a little bit of jealousy. Nobody can see that kind of stuff, you know, in the light of, you know, oh yeah, drugs got them again, you know. I mean, some things are killers. Some things just suppress you, right? Some things are suppressants, some things are killers. Well, alcohol's a killer, right? But that doesn't make it any worse. And another thing, I'm always curious about where things fit in the scheme of things. You know, like where is drunkenness on the list of bad things? You know, we categorize sin, right? This is a bad sin, this one's a little less sin. This isn't that much of a sin, you know. And these, well, I don't even know if God pays attention to these. And there's that other area, you know. God doesn't quite go that way, but, you know, we sort of categorize things like that. And so I was interested to find out where drunkenness was on the list. And so I went to Galatians, and I want to read some of this stuff to you. And I want to see, I'm not gonna explain any of this stuff, and I'm not pointing at anybody. But if the shoe fits, when you read the word and the shoe fits, wear it, all right? Deal with it. That's all I'm saying, deal with it. Because we're into a year of running and moving ahead, and the pace is fixing to increase. I'm telling you what, that's a prophetic word right now. The pace is fixing to increase. And so I just want to read some of this, starting at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. I checked out uncleanness. It's an immoral mind, thinking immoral thoughts. Lewdness, idolatry, putting things ahead of God, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, and here we get into some of these lesser things that are in the church all the time. Contention. Oh, I don't like the way they think. I can't think like that. You know, contentions. Jealousies. How come they always get to do stuff that I don't? Just think of this list. These are all in the same list, all right? We're going to get to the badder things yet. Badder, is that a word? jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. What I'm talking about here, when we're reading this, is open doors. Al left the door open. Alcohol somehow was a door where the devil could get in, and it did him in. These are doors that'll slow you down or trip you up this year if you don't deal with them right now. And we're in a really good spot right now in the church. I feel the Spirit of God is just wooing us to, hey, you guys, if you'll just fess up to it, if you'll just admit that you got a door there, I'll slam it shut for you. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to project guilt at all. I'm telling you, if this comes to you and it's a door, God's standing here today and he wants to close it for you. Why? Because he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in every area of your life. In every area of your life. He says, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper. That is God's desire for you. And so if he points out something, it's not to tell you how rotten you are. It's to tell you how good you can be, and I'll deal with that for you. So I'm coming at this. To me, my Bible is good news. If I ever read it and it turns out to be bad news, somebody's planted a bad seed in there. This is good news. I was bad news before I found this book. Never mind reading bad news. I was bad news. Okay, let's continue here. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy. Look at that. Envy is right beside murderers. And the last one on the list is drunkenness and such things. So being a drunk isn't even that bad, according to all this. It's the bottom of the list. And it killed him. It almost killed me. I really don't understand God in a lot of areas of life. I was just a hardcore alcoholic, drank my whiskey out of a bottle, I kept it in the fridge because I didn't like mix. I drank it cold straight. I had to get up at 3 a.m. so I could make it through the night. And the day I got down on my knees, how long does it say, Lord, help me. If you can deliver me from alcohol, I'll tell everybody. And I got up, and I never needed another drink in my whole life. How do you reconcile these two lives, right? I don't know. I don't have the answer, and I'm not going to try and figure out who God is on that issue. There's some other things he didn't deliver me of. I had a fight with him and work with him and get through them. But I know that God's grace is sufficient. If you've got something going on in your life that's not good, I know that God is coming today in his grace to deliver you. Because he's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. A victorious church, an overcoming church, one who knows their God and can do exploits. It says, those who know their God shall do exploits, and those with understanding shall teach many. We're not only going to do the exploits, we're going to understand them, and we're going to disciple people to do them so that there's more exploits being done. Hallelujah. We need to start being far more proactive about who we are and who God thinks we are. Who does God think you are? Line that up against who you think you are. And if there's a discrepancy, go with what God says. Because I know that he thinks more of you than you do. I've had to challenge myself many times. Oh, what can I do? What if it doesn't work? And then I heard a little voice inside of me and saying, hey, what if it does? What if it does? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. As long as I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do, I can do it. And one thing also I learned, when God tells you to do something, with the command comes the ability. Because God would never tell you to do something you couldn't do. If he says, go into all the world, you know something? You can go. You can go. We had a really neat experience here a couple weeks ago. I was on, we were on Skype. We did, Mitch and I did a half an hour on Skype to India with the pastors on the other side of the world. They're sitting there. I did a little teaching. And then we prayed for them and they needed healing. Mitch started operating in a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And laid hands on guys, got an email the next day. Totally healed. Over 10,000 miles away, we're sitting in my basement on Skype. We can do anything we put our mind to in the name of Jesus. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I thought, okay, the kingdom of God, there's a difference between heaven and the kingdom of God. They're not the same thing. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you do these things, you will not inherit righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's why there's so many prune-faced people in church. They're not inheriting the kingdom of God because they can't get over their petty little difference about, over the guy across the hall on the other side of the aisle. But we're not going to tell anybody, so we're going to fake our Christianity. We'll stand and we'll shake in church, you know. Oh, yeah, God's just, oh, isn't he ever being touched by God? And it's as phony as a $3 bill. You ever yell at them, they jump right out of their skin. They're not shaking. God isn't shaking them. They're shaking themselves. And you can't smile. I mean, if you can't put on a smile for 1 hour on Sunday morning, you're in big trouble. Huh? Come to church to glare at somebody? By this, have we read the verse? By this shall all men know that we are his disciples, by the love we have for one another. Do you have any disciples following you? Jesus, quiet. Maybe check the love. By this shall all men know. Not by the gifts of the Spirit. We all want gifts, right? Oh, I want to operate in the gifts. I want to operate in the power gifts. Oh, the gifts of healing. You know? Let me tell you something. The fruit of the Spirit is much more powerful than the gifts of the Spirit. And now we're getting to the good stuff. 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here's a killer that people don't believe, self-control. Against such there's no law. You know, the devil has nothing on a guy who operates in love. He can't do anything with him. There's no law. There is no law on earth that can get you on love. But you say, that guy just makes me so mad. No. Your anger is a choice. You have self-control. You decided to control yourself into anger. You can't make me mad. The only way I can get mad is if I decide to be mad. Why? Because I have the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. You're not in control of me. I am. Isn't that cool? God's not even in control of me. I have self-control. Oh, God's not helping me. Oh, shut up. Self-control. I looked that up every way from Sunday. You know what it means? Control yourself. Yeah. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you say you're Spirit-filled, why don't you live like you're Spirit-filled? You know what the Bible says? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Right? It doesn't say those who are filled with the Spirit are sons of God. It says those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. There's quite a few of us in here today. And I know for a fact, if we were all led by the Spirit of God next week, we could pack the place out like nothing. Why? Because it's God's desire that no one should perish. And there's lots of people perishing. So why don't we just do it? I don't know about you, but I like righteousness. I like peace. And I like joy. I just sort of like that stuff. That's all good. When Jesus died on the cross, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all unrighteousness. You know what the word unrighteousness means in the Webster Dictionary? The definition is unjust, unfair, and not right. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from everything that's not right. You know what that means? That everything in my life is right. I'm righteous. It's right. It's good to love each other. It's good to love each other. It covers a multitude of sins. I'm a bit of a jerk. Mitch still loves me. He overlooks it. But I owe him. I had a kidney stone go through my system and I was in emergency. And I don't know if you've ever had a kidney stone, it hurts. I mean, that is serious, crazy pain. And he got me laughing. And I couldn't quit laughing. I was in so much agony, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. But he's a good guy to have on your side, I'll tell you that. I love my brother. But here we are. We're in the beginning of a new year. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to carry your deficit forward to this year? Or you want to dump it off today? And start with a clean slate and a new balance. God will make the first deposit for you. And then you can match it. And you can't outgive him. So what do you want to do today? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Where is 1 Peter? Oh, there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I want to encourage you with this. I'm just going to get you ready here. This is what's going to happen. After I'm done saying this, Chad's going to put up a little video. And it's an old-fashioned song called Just As I Am. God loves you just the way you are. He's just determined not to leave you that way. Yeah, he's going to take you up a notch. You know, there's an upgrade coming. 2015 is the year of the upgrade. Yeah, he's going to upgrade us. I mean, how many of you want to just stay here? How many of you would like an upgrade? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. There's an upgrade coming. Here's what we got to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know something? I got a revelation of this Saturday morning at around 6 o'clock. I said, what am I reading here? What do you mean the devil's going around like a roaring lion? The last time I read, Jesus says, on your belly shall you crawl, you serpent, and you shall eat the dust of the earth. What's he doing going around like a roaring lion? He's faking it. He's no lion. He's just imposed himself. Why does he want to be a lion? Because we serve the Lion of Judah. And that lion has no known predator. And the little rat, he's a serpent destined by God to crawl on his belly and eat the dust. And it says, man shall bruise his head. Forget this lion stuff. He's a snake in the grass. And God said you would bruise his head. This is the year when the Satan's headache is going to double. Maybe even triple. Folks, God has called us to victory. We don't work from a place of defeat. I see people praying to God and they're like this. Oh, God! I don't know, last time I checked, the Bible says I was seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So when I'm praying, oh, world! Do you have any idea what the devil is thinking today? Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Jesus died on the cross. He said, it is finished. And the devil was just clapped. He was just, oh, great, I got him. I got him. I got him. They put him in the tomb. And what did Jesus do? He went down to hell. And he found that devil. And he grabbed him by the throat. And he flipped through his keychain. And he took off two keys, the keys to hell and death. And it says, and then he paraded him up and down the hallways of hell. He said, and made a show of him openly and triumphed over him in it. Hallelujah. He paraded him through hell to make sure that every little demon knew that their boss had been defeated. And I'm telling you, I don't fight from a place of defeat. I fight from a place of victory. It said he made a show of him openly and triumphed over him in it. And the devil knows he's whipped, and his demons know he's whipped. But somehow he's been lying to the church and saying he's still the lion with the teeth. But I'm telling you, he's not. I'm telling you that we are more than conquerors. I am the head and not the tail. No weapon, Isaiah says, no weapon formed against you can prosper. And any voice that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn and prove to be in the wrong, because that's the heritage of the children of God. So I'm telling you today, close the door. Whatever door is open in your life that's allowing the devil to slow you down, somebody talked about it, hinder you from not fulfilling everything God's called you to be. If he can't kill you, he'll settle for slowing you down. You guys, we're onto it. I'm onto his tricks. I'm starting to understand who I am. Wouldn't that be neat if someday in the Red Deer paper, I don't even know what it's called, there was so many things going on that some reporter would write, surely there must be giants in the land. There's weird stuff happening in Red Deer. Can't find street people anymore. Huh. Yeah, the biker bar is closing down. No more prostitutes want to work there. Can't find enough people to keep them busy. Jesus is coming to town. You know, everybody's singing Santa Claus is coming to town. No. Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is coming to town. And you know who he's coming through? You and me. The church. That glorious church that we read about. And we'd like to actually identify with but really don't know how. Be quite honest with you, the church has a fairly bad reputation in the world, not in church in general, right? But that's over. Jesus is coming. So what do I want to give you an opportunity to do? I'm going to put on that video, if you can cue it up there, Chad. And just, somebody put out the lights back there, please. And I just want you to think about your life. I'm not praying for you. I don't want to do any of that right now. Just deal with God on your own today, right? Sit down and say, God, where's the door that's been open in my life that's allowing me not to be as effective as I know I should be? And find that door and close it. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to go full bore. I don't want anything dragging on my foot or bogging me down. I want to run the race, right? And he says to cast off. That implies that you need to do it, right? It says cast off every weight. It doesn't say come to church and let the pastor tear it off your back. You cast it off yourself. You get it off your back. And you run the race. And I need to tell you, too, that the messenger is not exempt from the message. I'm talking to myself today, too, all right? Go ahead, Chad.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
Amen? I think we hear from God. Maybe you guys would just sing that last song you did earlier. We're gonna go out with that song. But just I was thinking about the doors. You know, the idea that maybe it's time to close the door, and you need prayer today. I was wondering if Kimberly would come forward, and if Frank, if you come forward, just for prayer, and maybe Barb and Tim. Why don't you guys just there's a few people that'll pray for you, and it's a good. You know, the first Sunday of the year, I can't think of a better day to close the door. If it's a door to alcohol, or if it's a door to pornography, or if it's a door to your envy, or your gossip, or your alcohol, or whatever it is, there's someone here to pray with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Why don't we stand? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His smiling face. And God give you peace in 2015. Amen? God bless you. Just come.